The first the case today is United States v. William Ramirez-Freshel, appeal number 19-2010, and United States v. Jonathan Ramirez-Freshel, appeal number 19-2017. Attorney Matos, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your argument.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Juan Matos de Juan, and I represent Jonathan Ramirez-Freshel, and I'm ready at your convenience.
Please proceed, Mr. Matos.
Thank you, Judge Cayada. In this case, the defense raised two arguments. Jonathan Ramirez raised two arguments. One of a guideline argument, the other of insufficiency for the 924 conviction. Given the government has conceded the guidelines argument, I will go straight into the 924 issue. Now, the way I perceive this case, the crux of the matter is the third prong of the 924, as it has been interpreted under Mendoza-Maisonet, which is if this possession was in furtherance of the, if this possession of a weapon was in furtherance of a drug trafficking offense. And why is that? Because the argument, the government in its arguments, particularly in its brief at page 31, conceded that the weapon was neither there to protect or enforce the drug trafficking offense. It's our position that then the only room open to the government is that it was a joint transaction. But yet the facts do not support such a position. The government is resting on a theory, both at trial and at the appellate level. And trial counsel was my good friend, Mr. Alum, who was just before you. The government rests on a theory that the drugs in some manner sweetened the deal of these firearm transactions. But it misses the marks because this was always a firearm transaction. The first event was a firearm transaction. The second event is a firearm transaction. The only reason there's a drug transaction here is because, as is in the transcript, and as you hear the undercover agent say, he wanted to bring in some drugs in order to seize the car involved, because this was a state, originally a state case, and under local Puerto Rican law, that was the best way to seize the vehicle.
As I understand the government's argument, I understood it to be a little bit different. Maybe I read too much into it. I read it to say, make an analogy to like a store that sells two products, knowing that one will get in customers for the other, a store that sells like liquor and cigarettes. You figure people looking for liquor may buy some cigarettes too. And so their argument, as I understand it, is selling guns puts you in touch with people who want to buy drugs.
Yes, Judge, but I understand that position, but this is not Walgreens, in which you will buy socks and cereal at the same place you will get your meds. In this particular case, this agent, who's an agent for the weapons unit of the Puerto Rico police, is looking for guns. As a matter of fact, during cross-examination and during redirect, the agent stated, well, if it was just for the weed, because this was marijuana, and those were his words, if it was just for the weed, I wouldn't have gone, just for the marijuana transaction. I was looking for the weapons. Yes, ma'am?
So there was one case that was really close to this out of the Seventh Circuit, Bailey.
Yes.
I agree with you. This is not the standard case I see. But there are some cases out there which look at it as a package deal, and that's selling the gun to bring people to the table for the marijuana. So are you basically saying we should disagree with the Seventh Circuit here? Are you familiar with that Bailey case?
I am familiar with the Bailey case. That's the 2018 case out of the Seventh Circuit. I don't necessarily disagree with Bailey. I just don't think it's the same case. In the Bailey case, there's a series of transactions ongoing, which are narcotics transactions. In this case, it was always a weapons transaction. This is not a case in which, like Bailey, the purpose of the drugs is to gain the confidence of the seller. Here you hear the agent saying, well, I want some drugs in order to seize the car. This is not an ongoing narcotics transaction. And in Bailey, you had an ongoing narcotics transactions. So I think they're distinguishable between Bailey in the Seventh Circuit and this factual scenario.
If we
because
look at
as this court has recognized, it's totally factually driven.
If we look at the facts of your client's own behavior, it seemed to me they weren't just walking up to people on the street offering them marijuana, but they seemed to feel that now that they'd located someone who was buying guns, that was an occasion on which they should suggest selling marijuana.
Well, Judge, but the way I perceive the evidence, and I was trial counsel in this case, when you look at the recordings, you got the recordings of the event, right, and the calls. But then there's the continuance of the recording in which the undercover agent is talking to his control agent. And he's telling the control agent, no, hold off, don't arrest these people, because I want to get marijuana to seize the car. And let's not forget, this started out as a weapons transaction, continued being a weapons transaction. This is not the scenario in which you got... This is not a scenario in which you got both things going on at the same time. They're concurrent, but not the same transaction.
Thank you. I think your time is up.
That's correct, Your Honor. Thank you for your attention, and I'll rest on arguments and my brief.
Thank you, Attorney Matos. Dewan, please mute your audio and video at this time. Would Attorney Rivera-Gonzalez please unmute his audio and video? And introduce yourself on the record to begin.
May it please the court. My name is Johnny Rivera Gonzalez. I represent Appellant William Ramirez Frechel. May I continue, Your Honors?
Please go ahead.
First of all, I want to adopt the arguments made by my brother counsel, Juan Matos. In this case, I'm going to jump, since we only have 5 minutes, to the main argument. In this case, we believe that count 3 should be dismissed because the facts in this case do not establish the third element of section 924C. Initially, this counsel was under the impression that section 924C could have some ambiguous language. However, after studying the case law in this case, and what many of the points that we have is that we don't have a standard definition for the premise of in furtherance. And the second point that we have here
is... Can I ask you about that? Could you just help me? I have in my head 3 different scenarios.
Yes, sir.
We have these words in furtherance of. So one scenario is I sell guns, and then totally unrelated, I have a side business of selling drugs. In that circumstance, my sense is the government is in agreement. There's no in furtherance of.
That is correct, Your Honor, because okay. That would just right. A mere presence of the gun in the
exactly.
Transaction.
Exactly. There's nothing to do with it. Okay. Then there's another one in which the reason I sell guns is so that I can find drug buyers. And the gun sale is to attract the drug buyers to get me to them, so then I sell drugs. In that circumstance, there's an argument, at least, that it's in furtherance of the drug sale. Then there's a third circumstance in which I sell drugs and guns, and there's a connection between the two. It's not just happenstance that I'm selling drugs and that I'm selling guns. It's a business. I know that my client base likes both, and I sell both. What I hear you saying is that we're potentially in that last category, but that's not in furtherance of. That's more like in connection with or something like that. There's some relationship between the two. They're not maybe totally disconnected. But you can't say that the gun sale is in furtherance of the drug sale any more than you say the drug sale is in furtherance of the gun sale. They're just happening together. Is that your
actually,
position?
Actually, Your Honor, Judge Byron, the 3 points are online in the case law. However, we have to distinguish those facts to the reality on the facts and scenario that we have at hand. What do I mean? Whenever we have to discern the subjective intent of a party or a defendant, we have to be objective and we have to look at the factors.
No.
In this case, one of the main errors that I find in the case law is that they focus and they isolate the words in furtherance, and you have to look at jointly with the firearm word, the disposition, the statutory disposition. You have to look at the entire sentence, the entire language of the statute. When you look at the statute, you also compare with the Bailey case, the old Bailey case of the Supreme Court. You look at the historic development that Justice O'Connor made in this case.
Well, could you just come back to my...
Yes, sir.
Humor me and go back to my example.
Yes, sir.
I don't think the facts here support the idea that you'd have to conclude they were totally disconnected. Okay? The drug sales and the gun sales.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a connection between the two, in other words, this is a person who advertised, I sell drugs and guns, and I sell them together, and I expect my customers to like both. Is that enough for in furtherance or not? If not, why not? Well, why, when there's a connection like that, isn't it reasonable to assume that each is serving the other, that the gun customer base boosts the drugs and the drugs boost the guns, and it's a joint deal? So if you're selling both together, each is in furtherance of each.
Because it wasn't congressional intent. What do I mean by that? A firearm is a tool of trade. It's a tool of trade for what? To protect the proceeds, to protect your gang, to protect the drugs, to protect the members, to intimidate or eliminate rivals. So the gun has to be readily available because it has a purpose. It has to be proximate to the drugs. In this case, the firearm and the drugs were together, but the firearm was unloaded. So its purpose under 924C wouldn't be met. Not only that, the appellant immediately surrendered possession of the firearm to the undercover agent.
Why couldn't a jury find that these guys were in the business of selling drugs? It's what brought them to the table. And then they used their desire for the guns to further the sale of the marijuana. A package plan.
I understand the point of the court. However, just the mere possession of the gun there as part of the gun here is part of the merchandise. It's not to further the business. It's just part of the merchandise. The gun itself is just mere present in this case, Your Honor. Thank you.
Judge Barron, Judge Saris, do either of you have any other questions?
There was one additional point you raised which had to do with character evidence, the WhatsApp. Are you pressing that point?
Yes, very briefly, Your Honor. Into the character evidence, there are two points we have to make. The first one is, Your Honor, that character evidence shouldn't be allowed whenever its use is to establish criminal propensity. In that sense, we understand that the court abuses its discretion, because this is not a conspiracy. This is a specific fact.
Is there any real factual defense in this case about whether your clients did what they did? You know, is there any weakness in the claim that they sold the drugs and they sold the guns?
Your Honor, I will never lie to the court. The facts in this case do not help the appellants much. However,
so why do we care about the WhatsApp stuff? Even if we assume you're right and we get to prejudice, don't you fall down on that?
Well, Your Honor, the thing is that's why our legislators established Rule 404B. Okay, this is not a conspiracy. Of course, we have aiding and abetting in the indictment. But in this case, what we have, Your Honor, is specific details. And what the government did was they employed facts outside the time frame set under the indictment.
Is the idea that the WhatsApp messages are being used to show the purpose of the joint sales? And that's what's causing you the prejudice?
What actually causing the prejudice is you're confusing the jury, telling them, look, this guy is an arms dealer and he kept doing arms dealer and negotiating with us. And that just goes into the emotional side of the jury. And the jury might be confused with this information. The government didn't need this information.
Can I ask, you know, there's a counter argument that because it was just the next day or the next few days, that since the charge was you're in the business of dealing firearms, that it was intrinsic evidence and not character evidence at all. It was intrinsic to the charge as to their intent and their business.
And the Judge Saris, you're correct, but the line is so thin that I believe that in terms of making the best decision and avoiding error, the court should have stayed within the time frame. It was sufficient, as Judge Kataya just mentioned. The facts in this case were enough. Going there, going beyond that time frame is just too much, and you just go to inflame the jury, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Rivera.
Thank you, Your Honor.
At this time, Mr. Rivera, please mute your audio and your video. Attorney AUSA Bezosa, if you could please unmute your audio and video. And please introduce yourself on the record to begin.
Good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the court. Francisco Bezosa Martinez for the government. Your Honors, the District Court properly upheld Jonathan and William's 924C convictions under count 3. As the evidence showed, the government satisfied the in furtherance of element of 924C. Specifically, the Intratec pistol that was subject of the second transaction was part of a package deal sold alongside marijuana after negotiations had been held for a gun plus marijuana transaction. As Agent Garcia testified at trial, during the first transaction, when he initially began conversations with Jonathan, that conversation was about getting other firearms for the agent to buy. And during that time, Jonathan even started texting and calling to see what firearm he could get for Agent Garcia. And that during that conversation, during those negotiations, was when he saw an opening to also offer up marijuana. Initially offering a marijuana known by the street name of Arizona, which is about a lower...
How do we know that the firearm enabled that?
Well, Your Honor, as I was saying, the conversation began... Well, first of all, to go back briefly, Jonathan and William always advertise themselves as firearms dealers. Oh. So the firearms were the... central object of their business, and through those firearms they had the ability to bring in also the option of buying marijuana. And in this particular case, Your Honors, once the marijuana offer was made, conversations continued, and notably the time and place of the transaction of that marijuana.
Is the government's position that anybody they meet through the sale of a firearm, anything that then happens, any such sale of anything else after that, the firearm was in furtherance of that other sale? I mean, I suppose possibly, it seems awfully broad. Because it'll also be true that they sold firearms, and then they also sold drugs, and they sold both. But it wouldn't necessarily say the firearms were in furtherance of it.
Well, the firearms is what brought in the customers in this business. Like I said, they advertise themselves first and foremost as firearms dealers. And
that's a but-for point. I don't know if but-for is the same as in furtherance of.
Well, Your Honor, as the evidence shows through the agent's testimony, once the conversations got going and they... continued the conversations through text and phone calls later on, it was only after there reached an agreement as to the specific firearm, this Intratec pistol, and of the purchase price of $1,200. It was only then, after all that was said and done and hammered out,
that doesn't get me to infer. It's not like they said, I'll give you a discount on it, 2-for-1, because you're doing the firearm deal. There's none of that. It's just two things happen, one after the other. How does that necessarily mean that the first thing is in furtherance of the second thing happening, rather than it just preceded the second thing happening? Because, or even that the second thing would not have happened if they hadn't met through the firearm. But that just doesn't tell me necessarily that the firearm's in furtherance of it.
Because the consummation of the marijuana sale was contingent on the firearm transaction. Like, as I was saying, the marijuana was agreed upon initially, and then the specifics of the Intratec pistol were agreed upon. It was only after the specifics of the firearm that were set in place.
Was the deal that I won't buy the drugs unless you sell me the firearm?
I'm sorry?
Was the deal I won't buy the drugs unless you sell me the firearm?
It wasn't specifically said as such, but certainly from, as I was saying, the evidence, the time and place, the consummation of this transaction, the details of the time and place weren't set out until all the ducks were in a row.
But just answering my question, are you saying that the evidence could support a finding that I won't buy the drugs unless you sell me the firearm?
Yes, and as one of my brothers...
Are you saying we'd have to conclude that the record supports that inference in order for it to be in furtherance of?
Yes, in the light most favorable to the verdict. Yes.
But now I'm confused. I thought the big argument was that they were big drug dealers. Excuse me, gun dealers. Yes. And that this was sort of part of a package deal. And by the way, we'll sweeten it by also selling you marijuana. We'll even discount the marijuana if you buy the magazine. So you're saying it was the reverse of that?
Well, Your Honor, the conversations flowed. And as I said, the conversation started with, we're going to get you more guns to buy. The specifics of which gun in particular, that was established at a later time. The specifics as to what kind type of marijuana was set on the day of the first, when they've met for the first transaction. But at that time, the time and place of the sale wasn't hammered out. So that marijuana agreement was up in the air up until and after the Intratec pistol details were hammered out. It was only after that that the time and place of the where they would consummate this transaction.
But I just don't follow. Why does that help you?
Because it's highly suggests that if they had not found a firearm for the agent to buy, they ran the risk of the agent saying, well, I'm not going to buy the marijuana then. It shows that there was a contingent component to that marijuana sale.
But then you're saying we'd have to read the record to say that he would not have bought the marijuana unless the gun sale went through. That the sale of the marijuana was contingent on the gun sale going through.
Yes, Your Honor.
That is, as Judge Sarah says, that's not a sweetening the pot deal.
Well, perhaps sweetening the pot is not the correct phrasing for it. It was, or sweetening the pot for...
And other than the timing, is there anything that supports the idea of contingency in the record?
Well, the agent's testimony himself that he mentioned that had this just been a marijuana transaction, he wouldn't have gone through with it. And as Brother Counselor mentioned, this agent was part of the firearms unit for the local police, so the firearms was his focus.
I'm puzzled by you. You've now puzzled me. I mean, suppose they're running they advertise on the internet they're selling marijuana, and they have a tagline, and you can buy your guns here too. And so someone calls them up and buys one or the other, but doesn't have to buy a both, neither is contingent on it. I thought you would plainly say that that is selling guns in furtherance of selling marijuana, given what I just described, even though the purchase of one isn't contingent on the other, but it's used to attract people to buy the other.
Yes, exactly. It's used there. The firearm is used to attract buyers.
But you seem to be saying that's only true if it's contingent. You didn't seem to be making the argument that just selling both together is enough.
Well, I'm making the contingency argument based on the facts of this case. However, selling them together, as it happened in Bailey, would also support a finding of a possession in furtherance of a drug crime.
So are you saying that it's only in furtherance if buying one of the two is contingent on the other? There has to be a sale of both.
Not necessarily, Your Honor. Not necessarily the purchase of both. That's just what happened in this case. However, for example, if you're initially attracted to that seller because of their firearms business, who then also offers up marijuana, but you ultimately end up just buying the marijuana, you still used or possessed a firearm to attract a buyer to your business. And so in that sense, it did...
Well, you switched the you there a little bit, because it may be that the one who's buying the firearm then is there and will buy drugs, but that's different than saying the person who's selling the firearms and is also able to do a drug deal on the side did the firearm sale for the purpose of attracting the drug buyers, rather than that's just gravy. I sell firearms, and then lo and behold, some of my customers also buy drugs. I'm not doing it for that purpose. And I take it that's what the defendant's saying, why Bailey's different, because there was evidence that it all started as a drug effort, so you could say that was their primary motivation. Then they threw the weapon in as a pot sweetener to keep them purchasing the drugs. Whereas here, it's almost the reverse. They seem focused on firearms. Your WhatsApp evidence is that they were big firearms people. But it seems like that's the dog, and the drugs might be just the tail, which makes it a little hard to see how it's in furtherance of the drugs.
If I may, Your Honor, I read Bailey a bit differently. Okay. There, as here, the firearm was the main transaction. That's what brought the customer, and then he said, I can also sell you drugs. And in that particular instance, the details of the firearms are already hammered out, and at the insistence of the agent for whom the government informant was working for, he went with that additional money that day to see if to purchase marijuana as well.
Would you agree that Bailey is the only case that even is remotely similar to ours? I mean, we couldn't find anything else where the in furtherance of dealt with this package plan here.
In terms of possession and furtherance, Your Honor, yes, Bailey's the only one that we have been able to find, although there are a slew of other circuits that have dealt
time.
With similar situations as you said, during and relation.
Can I ask you one just record point?
Yes.
What is the relative value of the firearms transactions versus the drug transactions? Do we have anything in the record that shows us that? How much money were they making off the firearms relative to what they made off of the drug sale?
It was $1,200 and $900, wasn't it?
Well, yes, correct, Your Honor.
$900 is the drug?
$800 for the magazine.
And how the drugs was $900?
The drugs was $900, but then lowered $800 to include the magazine for the Glock that he had purchased in the first transaction. So the government maintains, Your Honors, that this was a case of possessing a firearm in furtherance of a drug crime.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bezos.
Question. The government rests on the briefs and asks for affirmance.
That concludes argument in this case. Attorney Matos, Attorney Rivera, and Attorney Bezos, you should disconnect from the hearing at this time.